Good morning, everybody. I just want to tell you, you know, sometimes you know, you think when a program starts on the radio or TV, I haven't watched TV in years, but magnets like that, you know, or maybe the news. And calmly, Phil starts reading the news. But what you don't know is, if a few seconds ago he finally got everything that he needed, understand? For some strange reason, Rifki Siegel just walked in about 30 seconds ago. She brought the sources. The sources. Without this, there's no sheer. I've been a nervous wreck for the last half an hour. If I would tell you all the phone calls that were going back and forth until finally this was accomplished, I'm a nervous wreck. And now I'm a nervous wreck, I have to say it's sheer.
The sorcerer.
It's a lot of problems over here. This should be the worst problems we have. So I was gonna stall for a few minutes. I was going to stall for a few minutes and tell you that I don't know if the Jerusalem Post is going to publish a letter that I sent to them on Sunday, or whether that letter, not being published, will therefore become forever, for all time, another one of the unpublished letters of Joel Gold. But I got a little upset with their Sunday editorial. We're having a discipline problem here today. The editorial was a little rough with Zaka. Zaka, you know, Yehuda Leshi Ben Zahar, because they differentiate between terrorists and the victims of terror.
That's very rude.
And the Israel Medical Association has decided that you can't do that. You come to a scene of a terrorist attack, everybody is equal, and the one you treat is the one who is more seriously wounded. If it's the terrorist, then the terrorist gets treated first. That was a new ruling of the Israel Medical Association. Yes?
It was actually their ethical committee, not the whole medical association.
It was the ethical committee and not the whole association. So now the whole association is okay. No, except Magid David Adom, who is going to deal with it. That's what they said. The Jerusalem Post. You know, you can't. You want to disagree with me on a pasuk in Torah, that's one thing, but you can't disagree with me. Hey, look at Jerusalem Post editorial that I have right here in front of you today. So they say that Magid David Adom gave instructions that you come to a scene, everybody is equal. And that means, therefore, that the one who's most seriously wounded is the one who gets treated first. No questions now, because I have shit to say.
Just to say that they did it on the request of the Doctors Without Frontiers.
No, it was a different group. Let's see over here. It was Physicians for Human Rights. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and you know, I don't want to really be hauled to court for making an incorrect statement, Physicians for Human Rights is an extreme left-wing organization, just like Breaking Silence and all the rest of the Hashlug and Israel Yisrael, which in Yitz Hashem, I think we may discuss in depth next week as a shear. No, we don't talk politics. Anyway, Zaka will treat the victims first.
Yeah.
Right. Oh.
The editorial is so upset with that. So I sent a letter. I may never get into print, so I dear sir, Why are you still basking in the joy of your editorial celebrating Israel? I told you about that editorial last week, where they described that, they said, we have to celebrate the country that we're in, a country that has made such awesome strides in 67 years, while other countries took hundreds of years to accomplish what's accomplished here in a very brief period of time, and what was accomplished, what was not accomplished by hundreds of years in other countries was accomplished there. It was a beautiful editorial. Then maybe one of these days I'll give you a copy of it. So I said, while I was still basking in the joy of your editorial celebrating Yeshua, you hit me with the title of this editorial, No Kindness, No Kindness. So I said, I write the following. Two scenarios. One, Hitler is beating the little Jew. The bloody little Jew fights back. Hitler is seriously wounded. Mugen David Adom and the Israel Medical Association arrive at the scene. Hitler is treated first. Little Jew dies. Hitler recovers and goes on to murder 6 million Jews. Scenario number two. The facts, the same as above, but in the second scenario, Zaka arrives at the scene. They spit on Hitler, treat the Jew, Hitler dies, Jew recovers, and the world is a far better place. Furthermore, they had said that it was something that like a car accident. You come to a car accident, you don't know who's the perpetrator, who's not the perpetrator. So you can't do any profiling at an accident. So, furthermore, the comparison to a car accident passes the limits of absurdity. The terrorist comes with premeditated intent to murder. The car accident is just that, an accident. And my last sentence is, the Talmud says that he who is merciful to the cruel will ultimately be cruel to the merciful. That's it. Okay, now, this may be the only applause I get for this one. But then again, hope springs eternal. Maybe it'll be there tomorrow morning. Be sure at 6 o'clock I'm going to be down there to pick up my little bells. Okay. The shiur that I'm going to say today is, there's a story behind the shiur, and the story will come toward the end. And I had once said this some years ago at a conference of Israeli rabbis, and there were two comments that were made then. Shlomo Amar was then chief rabbi, came over to me right after I finished speaking, and he says, Rav Gold, atzarich lichtov et zeh, Rav Gold, you have to write it, and you have to write it with the story, with the story. So now I have your interest, you're going to have to wait to hear the story. I was in one of my passionate moods, so Rav Lau was sitting next to a friend of mine at that table, and while I'm speaking, he turns to his friend and he says, Tagidli, Ben Kamach Rav, how old is Rabbi Gold? I was bombastic. I was, okay. I don't want to say the will get tired. This is the shiur. What we're going to do today is we are going to let the psukim speak to us. You may not have to forget anything you ever learned, or you may have to forget it. We're just going to read the psukim. One of the things I most feel strongly about is the importance of not sedreying the pasuk. You know, you can't simply do the pasuk whatever you want. The pasuk speaks to you, but you have to listen. We're going to read. Just sit back and we're going to read. You have one of these sheets. We're going to deal today with God revealing himself to Moshe at the snare. Pick this up. There are more coming. You see? There are Queenie up here and everybody needs. Okay. So this sheet, not the one with the black borders.
Bella here. Bella?
Queenie?
I'm just saying, I weren't being warned.
All right. We've lost already 7 minutes. God reveals himself to Moshe at the snare. I think it's one of those difficult parshot in all Torah. How much is 22 and 14?
36.
Excellent. 36 psukim in Torah describe Moshe Rabbeinu and his great meeting with God at the snare. Let's just stop reading. Just going to read. Moshe hayah roeh etzom Yitro chotno kohen midyan. Moshe tended the sheep of his father-in-law, the high priest of Midyan. And he ends up out in the desert near Choreb. Choreb is another term for Sinai. An angel of God appeared to him from the heart of a fire in the middle of a thorn bush. He saw the bush is burning, but the bush is not consumed. Out in the desert, a dry thorn bush is something that should simply disappear in minutes completely. But no, the fire keeps going, and the thorn bush is still there. By Yom Moshe said, Asurama be'edet hamarach godol hazeh, I must go over there and investigate this great vision. Why is the snare, why is it not consumed? God saw that Moshe had turned and his attention was focused on the thorn bush, and he said, Moshe, Moshe, here it begins. The process of redemption is beginning with those two words. Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer, and he answered the way great people before him had answered. That's exactly the way Avram answered when God appeared to him and told him to take his son to the Akedah. God appears to Yaakov and he says, Hineini. Hineini is the great word that means I'm ready for everything. Vayomer, God said to him, Al tikrach halom, don't draw close to here. Shalom lo'alecho me'al raglecho, remove your shoes from upon your feet. Ki ha'makom asher ha'tomeh lo, because the place where you stand, admat kodesh, who is holy ground. Vayomer, here it is. God begins his message. Anochi Elokei Avicha, I am the God of your father, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Vayasgaster Moshe upon him. Moshe hid his face, ki yorei mehabit Elohim, because he was afraid to look at God. Interesting, of course, I love the use of the word Anochi. It is that's the word with which God appeared to the Jewish people. The Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am God your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Vayomer, and God said, Vayomer Hashem, God said, Ra'o ra'iti etoni ami, I have seen the suffering of my people, Hashem, who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cries from before their taskmasters. Ki yadati, I know of their pain, yadati et nachuvah. Ve'edet la'atzilah, I've come down to save them, Yad Mitzrayim. I've come down to save them from the hands of Mitzrayim, ul'halotu min ha'aretz ahi, and to bring them up out of that land of Egypt, el eretz tova u'rekova, to a good and broad land, el eretz zovas cholavash. The first time that this term appears in Chumash, it appears a total of 14 times in Torah. But of the 14 times, there is one where it's not referring to Eretz Yisrael, but Dasan Va'aviram, whom we're going to talk about possibly next week, when the in the rebellion of Korach against Moshe, they accused Moshe, you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey. Auschwitz is flowing with milk and honey. Mitzrayim is flowing with milk and honey. We'll take care of those guys next week in Yitz Hashem. Here it is. Oh, this is a beautiful message. I'm going to take them up out of here. There. He tells Moshe, he made Sakar B'nei Yisrael boy Eli, the cries of the children of Israel come to me, you Gabriel, and I've seen the pressure, Asher Mitzrayim lo chatzim otam, that Mitzrayim pressures them. Va'ata now, lechovesh lochacho el paro, go, and I'm going to send you to paro v'hotzi, if I mean, the name is calling Mitzrayim, and take out my people, the children of Israel from Egypt. What a message, what a mission, faith. What would we imagine? That Moshe Rabbeinu would be overwhelmed with joy and he would say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm going, Eilech. Vayomer Moshe Elokim, Moshe said to him, Mi anochi ki Eilech al Paro. Who am I that I should go to Paro? The Chiyotziah, B'nei Yisrael, Mitzrayim. And I should take the children of Israel out of Egypt. This is the last kind of response I would ever have imagined. If it would be any one of us, we'd say to Benjamin, right on! We're going to take them out from their suffering. Now Moshe Rabbeinu says, who am I? Now what does this mean? You may very well look at it as, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was the humblest of all people upon the face of the earth. Who am I? Who am I? There's a time for humility, and there is a time when humility is a sin of the highest order. Somebody's drowning. I could save them, but I'm afraid tomorrow, today, the whole world will be talking about the great rescue. Gold went ahead and risked his life and saved. I don't like the spotlight. The mention, not me. Me or no? Who am I? That's obviously not the pshat over here. Not the pshat. Humility has no place over here. And wait a minute. The Rebbeinu was the one who chose you. You doubt? You doubt whether you'll be able to do it? He chose you. No, he chose you. He's telling you to go. It's unbelievable. Moshe refuses. Now, if it would end over here, okay, so you know, he started off with his humility, but this is going to go on for 7 long days. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to refuse, and God is going to attempt to convince him, and for heaven's sake, how are we to understand what's going through Moshe Rabbeinu's mind and what's going through God's mind? Moshe Rabbeinu, your people are suffering. Every minute that you tarry over here, every minute that you refuse, Jews are suffering. And maybe the bigger question is on the Rebbeinu's level. Moshe, there are a lot of Moshes in the sea. You don't want to go? I'll get somebody else. Pushmeister, what do you think? You're the only person that can save the Jews from Egypt? I'll send somebody else. But no. The Rebbeinu Shalom is relentless in going after Moshe. Moshe is equally relentless in his refusal. How are we supposed to understand it? It staggers the imagination. by the end of this year, you're going to understand Moshe Rabbeinu. And you know what else you're going to understand? You're going to understand the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Let's go. We may start skipping a few pesukim here and there. Meanwhile, let's go. However, Moshe's not finished. Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. Vayona Moshe. No. 12, I'm sorry. Vayona, God's response. Moshe had said, who am I? Who am I that I should go? I should take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Vayona, so God said, Ki yeyeh, imach, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. Vizelecha ot ki anochi shalachticha. This is the sign. This is the sign that I have sent you. Ba'utziacha ta'ami mitzchayim. When you take the people out of Egypt, ta'avdun et elokim al-horazeh. You're going to serve God on this mountain. This pasuk I'm going to leave unexplained now, because it will most probably be explained when we come to Parashat Peshach. You're giving him proof that I'm with you, because when you take them out, they're going to come to the mountain where I can't even read the pasuk. What does it mean? If you want to prove something to somebody, you show them something right now. It does make the pasuk is very difficult to understand. But you have to wait, you know? You have to wait a few weeks. Vayomer Moshe Elokim, here we come to refusal number two. Hinei Anochi Bo B'nei Yisrael, behold, I come to the children of Israel, v'amarti lehem, and I'm going to say to them, Elokei Avotechem Shvachani Elechem, the God of your fathers sent me to you, v'amru li, and they're going to tell me, Ma Shemo, what's his name? Mo Amar Alehem, what should I say to them? Maybe they also want the two Dabzehut number of the Rebbe Shalom. 1111111111. It doesn't seem to be a serious kind of refusal. It seems to be another lame excuse for not wanting to go. So we have to still... What ultimately we have to get to is, why doesn't he want to go? Vayomer Elokim al Moshe, the Rebbeinu, we understand, is going to be very, very patient with Moshe for 7 days. At the final refusal, it's going to say, and God got angry with Moshe. Once he gets angry, then Moshe already is, he relents and he agrees to go. But now for 7 long days, the Rebbeinu Shlomo has patience. Question is, why does he have patience? If he hears the pain and knows the anguish and feels the suffering, doesn't he want them out now? But no, let's see. Vayomer Elokim al Moshe. Moshe, God answers Moshe patiently. Eheyah Asher Eheyah. I will be who I will be, whatever that means. Vayomer, and God said, Ko tomar l'bnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the children of Israel. Eheyah Shlochani Aleichem. Eheyah. I will be. Maybe it means I will be with you. Has sent me to you. Vayomer Elokim al Moshe. And God has not finished yet. He says further to Moshe, Kol tomar l'bnei Yisrael, this is what you should say to the children of Israel. God, the God of the fathers. Second time that he's talking about the God of the fathers. The God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. Shlochani has sent me to you. Zesh milo olam v'zeh zichri l'dor v'dor. This is my name forever. And this is how I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Leichos after Zikne Yisrael, go and gather the elders of Israel, and you should say to them, Nachamol zum dritten Mal, Hashem Elokei Avotechem, the God of your fathers, appeared to me, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, saying, he tell them that God said, Pokot pokadati etchem, I have remembered you, that ha'osu lechem in Mitzrayim, don't think I forgot, never give up hope. Ayomeh, Va'omar. And I have said, I'm going to take you up from the suffering of Egypt. I'm going to take you up out of this miserable house of bondage, and I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, listen to this. This is very important. V'shomu kolecha. They're going to listen to you. I promise you, they're going to listen to you. Uvata tavizik, then you saw that you and the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Romarta ilav, and he should say to Pharaoh, Hashem lekei, for if him the God of the Hebrews, Nikra Elenu, has revealed himself to us, Va'ato nelchom aderech shloshes yom of Amidba, then his bechol Hashem lekei, let us go 3 days in the desert, and we will bring a sacrifice to God, our God. I'm not going to deal with that today, but you know, there's a shishtickle of white lie over here. They have no intention of going for 3 days. Why does he, God tell Moshe to say an untruth? Is that an interesting question? Now think about it. I'm not going to answer it today. Is it possible, you know, the psychologist of him will say maybe they'll be right, that, you know, you can't hit old Pharaoh with this, go out, we're leaving. So, you know, just go for 3 days. Sof Shavua in the desert, and we're going to come back. Vani Adati, Pasuk 19, and I know. I tell you, Moshe, I know. He's not going to let you go, and you will not go out unless I use my strong arm against him. And I will send Pasuk 20, Yoshua, I will send my hand, and I will smite Mitzrayim with all of my miraculous deeds that I shall do in his midst. And then afterwards, after he gets it in the cup, Yishalach etchem yisenuah. V'natati etchem ha'om v'hazeh b'eni Mitzrayim, and I will give the grace, the beauty of the people. At the last moment, as Jews are leaving Mitzrayim, there's going to be some kind of a kindly feeling between the Egyptians and their slaves. And you know what? When you leave, you're not going to go empty-handed from Mitzrayim. That's going to be another shir. I don't know when we'll talk about that. I mean, you get the feeling as though, you know, it's all been worth it. As long as when we walk out of Mitzrayim, we're going to walk out with gold and silver, you know, 210 years suffering over there. Nay. Okay, we're just raising questions. We're not giving answers because we have to focus on the main problem. The main problem is, why does Moshe refuse and why does God continue to insist? Why doesn't he simply tell him, you don't want to go, I'll get somebody else? By the way, there's only one other instance of this in Tanakh, and there are some similarities. God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them, in another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And he refuses to go. He goes down to Yaffo, gets onto a boat, and he thinks that he's going to flee from before God. Nobody can flee from before God. But wait a minute. If Fiona doesn't want to go, but the Rishon is dependent on Yonah. He doesn't have anybody else that he can send. You don't want to go? Ganesh! Go on off to Chutzarts. Go be a Yoreg. I'll find somebody else. No. God doesn't look for somebody else. He wants Yonah. And the more that Yonah refuses, the more God wants him. The more he flees, the more God pursues him. Pursues him into the stomach of a whale. What's going on? So now, since at that last moment before you leave Egypt, so the Egyptians are going to look upon you with favor. Every woman shall borrow. I don't like the word borrow. I don't like the translation borrow. That's not the correct translation. To sho'al is to ask for. When you translate it borrow, it means that all of Israel are told to be a bunch of liars. You don't intend to return anything. We're never coming back here again. So nix that translation. I'll have to tell this fellow who prepared this for me why he used something with such a terrible translation. And that terrible translation, by the way, has been a cause, one of the many causes or excuses for anti-Semitism. A bunch of lignes, gamnav, and Jews only care about money. They run the banks and the insurance companies. What are you talking about? All right. Vishala means ask for. No Jew told his neighbor, we're going for 3 days, I'll come back. You understand? We'll bring you back. No. This is for keeps. We'll have to find time to explain that. I'm going to be so confused after this year. You won't know it, but now you're going to know the Yikr, the main thing you know. They should ask for clean chesed, clean salt, and smolos, gold and silver and garments, the shmatas of Mitzrayim. The samtam al benechal al merotechim and yitzaltim Mitzrayim. And you should place it upon your sons and your daughters, and you should empty Egypt of its wealth. Okay, that was 22 psukim. That was all of chapter 3. Now we continue on into chapter 4. Vayar Moshe. Moshe answers, this is his third response to God. Vayomer, he said, Hein lo yaminu li. This is an unbelievable, pasuk. A few psukim earlier, God had said, V'sholu l'kalecha. They're going to listen to you. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'hein lo yaminu li. They're not going to believe me. V'lo yishmu'u b'koli. And they will not listen to my voice. And watch what Moshe does now. He puts words into the mouths of the Jewish people. Ki yomru, because they will say, Lo nira elecha Hashem. God didn't appear to you. Shom shabayim, how could Moshe do this? He's casting aspersions on a whole people. He's rejecting what God said. God said they will listen. I'm going to set all over again about this parasha. But at least at this point, I just want you to keep one thing in mind. Hashem had said to Moshe in Pasuk 18 before, V'shomu, they will listen, l'kolecha, to your voice. Moshe says over here, lo yaminu li, they will not believe me, v'lo yishmu, b'koli. Tuck that away, tuck it away. V'yomer elav Hashem, and God said to him, mazeh v'yotecha, what's this in your hand? V'yomer, and he says, mater, it's a staff. V'yomer, God said, hashlichehu arzah, cast it down onto the ground. Vayashlicheu arzah, cast it down on the ground. Vayihilu nachash, and it turned into a serpent, a snake. Vayomas Moshe yiponava, and Moshe fled from before it. Vayomar said, Moshe, God said to Moshe, stretch out your hand. Echoz desnovo, hold on to his tail. Vayishlach yadom, he stretched out his hand. Vayachazeh bow, and he held on to it. Vayihil lemateh bekapo. Abracadabra, the snake turned back into a stick. The stick became a snake. The snake became a stick. Leman yamino. So God says this is in order that they should believe. Ki niroi lech Hashem, you can do miracles in their presence so that they should believe that God is it the fourth time. That God, the God of their fathers, appeared to you. The God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Ayom Hashem lo'o. God has not finished with them yet. He says even more to him. Hoven ha'yotcho v'chekecho. Place your hand on your chest, inside your robe. Vayovei yodo. He put his hand into his robe. Vayotzioi tukrav v'nei yodo v'tzorat k'shoi. And his hand is white as with spiritual leprosy. So of course, Chazal tells us about this he had cast aspersions on the Jewish people. He had said they're not going to believe. They're going to tell him God didn't appear to you. You talk Lashon Hara and then you got to get a little clap, you know? He should know that he spoke not well of Egypt. Vayomer, and God said, Hashem Yochol Chikecho, put your hand back into your robe. Vayoshet Yodol, put his hand back. El Chikecho, Vayotzom Chikecho. He took it out. V'hinei, Shalom Kimsoro. Abracadabra. V'hoya. Pasuk 8. You know, we may pull this off a real, this is very good passion, but we have to get to the end. If they would, okay, that's more Luchwik. If they won't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second sign. And Pasuk 9 is if they won't believe both those signs, and they will not listen to Kolecha, Blakachter, Yimeimeha. God over here, by the way, incidentally, God over here seems to be partially agreeing with Moshe. You know, they may not believe you. They may not believe you. Okay. It'll all become clear. You should take from the waters of the Nile, pour it on the ground, and the water you're going to take from the Nile is going to turn into blood. Pasuk 10, by Yom Moshe Hashem. Oh, this is fourth refusal. Here it's getting very exciting. By Yom Moshe Hashem, this pasuk you're going to have to understand. This pasuk we're going to analyze. Clearly, we gotta know it. By Yom Moshe Hashem, Moshe said to God, be Hashem, please God. Lo ish dvorim anokhi. I'm not a man of words. Gamitmol, not from yesterday. Gamishushom, not from the day before. Gam me'oz darbercha el avdecha, from the time that you started speaking to the servant. Kichvat peh uchad loshen anokhi. I have a heavy mouth and a heavy tongue. Here, you're going to have to forget whatever you learned years ago. A medrash about a malach flying over, putting a coal, and he's a stutterer. Let the pasuk talk to us. What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying in this pasuk? Since when can't he talk? Does he say, I can't talk since birth? No, he says, I can't talk since yesterday, nor from the day before. You know when I lost the ability to talk? Me'oz davercha aladecha, when you started speaking to me. Are we talking about a physical inability? Disability? If it's a physical disability, do you know what should have happened? The very first thing he should have said, what are you sending, a stutterer and a stammerer? This is the seventh day? And he has been discussing things with God without any kind of disability. Well, he said tough stuff. He didn't say, Mi'onochi ki eilecho paro. Mi'onochi ki eilecho paro. V'chi otzia b'nei yisrael. Hein lo yamiluli v'lo yishmuli ki yomlu k'mo nino eilecho Hashem. Is he a stutterer? And what does the pasuk clearly say? And by the way, that's why you had this other sheet. I was holding this in abeyance in case I don't get this. Here's the Greek Rashi. Take this sheet on page 33. 33, you see it says 33 at the top. Rashi, pasuk number 10. Gamitmol. Donald, you know what we learn from this pasuk? This pasuk tells us that the entire conversation between God and Moshe took place over a period of 7 days. This pasuk says it. How do we know it? Why? Shekol shivo yomim hoya kodesh baruch hu mefateh et Moshe. Pasnel Melech Mishlichutai, that the Holy One, blessed be He, spent a full 7 days persuading Moses at the thorn bush to undertake his mission. Because it says in the pasuk, I cannot talk mitamol and shilshon and me'oz daberha. There are three time periods mentioned in the pasuk. Yesterday, the day before, and from when you started talking to me. Each one represents a day. Each gam is another day. It's a total of 6 days. It's the seventh day now. The terms since yesterday, the day before yesterday, since you first spoke, indicate 3 days. Ushlosha gamin and 3 appearances of the word gam. Also, ribuyim are words that denote addition. Each of them indicates an additional day. Hachay shisha, that's 6 days. V'hu haya omei v'yom hashvi, kisho'om alozot. It's a seventh day. 7 long days that we don't understand. We don't understand Moshe. We don't understand God. We don't understand a thing. But this pasuk certainly proves that Moshe is not suffering from a physical disability. He has a mouth, he can talk, he talks well. I have another proof of it. In next week's Sedra, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and speaks to the children of Israel, and Paro refuses to let them go, it says that Moshe says, V'anochi aral svatayim. Aral svatayim means my lips are shut tight. Now wait a minute. Here, in this sefer, he describes his so-called disability as heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue, which means I can get something out. But it's not easy. In next week's sefer, he describes his disability with a completely different term, a term that is far, far, far sharper and stronger. I am akal shvatayim. My lips are shut tight. What's he suffering from? What is he suffering from? Vayomer Hashem Elav. God said to him, Mi son pel adam. O midosum ilein, O chedesh, O pikeach, O iver, hello, Anochi Hashem. Who gave men a mouth? I'm the one. Yeah? Who makes a person unable to speak or unable to hear? Or makes a person blind? Me. Don't worry. I can take care of your disability. V'yartoleich, go. And I'm going to be with your mouth. The next 3 words are extremely important. Here's another example. Let the pasuk talk to you. And I will teach you what to say. Wait a minute. If he has a disability, God has to teach him how to speak, not what to say. Here comes the final, fifth refusal after 7 long, interminable days. And all these 7 days, the fate of an entire people hangs on the discussion going on here. The debate, the argument, I don't know what to call it, the stalemate. Vayomer, and Moshe says, Vi Hashem, please, O God, shlach no biyav tishlach. Send anybody else that you want. You know what this pasuk reveals? It reveals that everything Moshe had said for 7 days, they were all excuses. You know, this is like a little Israeli kid. Why don't you want to go to school? Kacha. Go to Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu says. Slacht op je tishlots. Send anybody you want. What What does that mean? I don't want to go! Ha! All my excuses have been taken care of by the religion. I don't want to go. Shem Shemayim. This is the great leader of the Jewish people. This is the fighter for freedom. This is a person who's concerned with the suffering of his people in Egypt. What's going on over there? What's going on over there? Shem Shemayim. And God is going to teach him what to say.
Here, Frank, this is it. Even the Ravishan, you know, he gets upset. I don't know how he didn't get upset for 7 days now. And God got angry with Moshe and he said, "Hello, Aaron, your brother, the Levi, I know that he will speak. He's coming out toward you and he will see you and he will be happy in his heart." This is such a difficult pasuk. What a difficult pasuk. You have to let this pasuk talk to you. Just sit back. God says, he gets angry, he says, "Aaron." Now, if you don't know which Aaron I'm talking about, Achicho, your brother. And if you still don't know who I'm talking about, he's a Levi. For heaven's sake. The Chavishon can't just tell him Aaron, or just tell him Achicha. Your brother, he only has one brother. Now he has to tell him Aaron, Achicha, a Levi. His Sudat Zehut is 015-6785-24. The one that's 3 years older than you, whose parents are Amram and Yocheved. What's going on? Why does God say this? Yodati, I know that he will speak. He'll speak for you. In fact, during the entire story of the Exodus, Aaron speaks but once. That's all. And then, behold, he's coming out toward you. Veracha, he's going to see you. Vesamach b'libo, he's going to be happy. So you should know this whole thing is a put-up thing. When Moshe is on his way to Mitzrayim, finally, God appears to Aaron and tells Aaron, "Go out to greet your brother. Get moving now. He's on the way. Get there. I want you to meet him. It's all set up." Vibarto love, you will speak to him. The Santa Tatvaran the fifth, you will put the words in his mouth. Well, how's he putting things in anybody's mouth? He can't even talk, all right? Vonochi, and I will be in Pichovi in Piu. I will be with your mouth and his mouth. I'm going to give instructions what you should do. Vidiber Hulacholom, and he will speak to you, to the people. He will be the mouth. Him, you are going to be the one who will be master over him, his guide. Take this, huh? That's it. The time has come. Yes, there's enough time. There's enough time to give an answer. So this is the story. The story is the following. Here it is. The birth of this shiur. This shiur is an extended version of a drasha that I delivered at the Yom Gizur of West Hempstead on Shabbat Parashat Shemot, January 4th, 1974. The 21st day of Tevet. 5734. How many days in Tevet is it today? In some places, we're pretty close to it. How many years? Shabbos what?
Is the 21st of
Tevet. Well, okay. So, how many years is it since 1974? How many? 42.
It will be 42.
Okay. All right, so this is the question that I said
in the Yankisu of Hassan said it. And maybe somebody who remembers it, or somebody from the sense that he was surely in shul that Shabbos. My good, my great student of Yisrael Kanovitz over there. The following day, Sunday, I was going to join the Rabbinical Council of America, the first group of rabbis to visit Eretz Yisrael after the Yom Kippur War. It was a journey of condolence and solidarity with our people in Eretz Yisrael in the aftermath of the Yom Kippur War that had ended just 3 months earlier. Many soldiers were still stationed on the front lines. Nearly 3,000 had lost their lives. The country was still in a state of shock and figuratively bleeding profusely. It will take some while till the process of healing would begin. The surprise attack by Egypt and Syria and Kippur dealt a severe blow to Israel's self-confidence. In fact, the country's ability to regroup and counterattack, bringing Israeli forces in striking range of Cairo and Damascus, was, according to many, more miraculous than the Six-Day War. But personally, I had serious misgivings about this journey to Eretz Israel, though its purpose, it was to console, but I felt very uneasy. I had this feeling that I'm going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you understand, with my camera, and those that have light meters. I never had a light meter, but it sounds good to the story. I'm going to come over there to Eretz Yisrael, the Kaiser tourist, together with his another 150, 200 rabbis. The tourists are going to be going through the country. And I have this feeling that wherever I go, someone's going to look at me and think, where were you when we were bleeding? Where were you when we were attacked? We were sitting nice and comfortable there about 6,000 miles away. And less sense that, Grisa Pishayim, now you're coming here to Eretz Yisrael to look around? I have this terrible, terrible feeling. Terrible feeling. That they would look at us askance, and by the way, rightfully so. Why aren't we here with them on the front lines? It was extremely disturbing. I had also decided then our oldest, our Bechor boy, was just under 12 years old. And in those days, you were able to get a ticket for it under 12 years old. Very inexpensive. So I'm taking him along. So here it is. The Grisa rabbi from America, hotshot rabbi, is coming with his son and his camera. In the aftermath of a profound, profound tragedy. I wanted to take my son because two of his best friends were here. One of his best friends from West Hampstead was Dov Fendel, who was the Roshiva of the Hezdi Yeshiva in State Up, one of the biggest yeshivas in the country that has been growing under awesome conditions. The two of them used to play Monopoly on the floor and other things, and at one point they both decided that they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael when they grow up, and each one was going to build a yeshiva, one to the south and one to the north. So David Fendel went to Sderot, my son went to Afua, and thank God they've both done great work. So here it is. I'm very uneasy about going to Eretz Yisrael. What was I doing here? I should have been there with them. That's the key that unlocked for me the whole parasha. There's one single solitary Jew in the whole world who is not together with his people suffering in Mitzrayim. Every single Jew in the world is in Mitzrayim. There's one who isn't there. The one who isn't there is Moshe. He's been away for 60 years. He married well. He's had children. He's living the life of a shepherd. He probably has a little chalil, and he plays his chalil. Peaceful, calm, quiet, good.
one Jew. The moment God says to him, go to Egypt, the first thing that hits him is, I'm going to come to Egypt. Didn't take a look at me. Ah, Moshe, the one Yochid in the world, you finally decided to come back. Where have you been all of these years, Moshe? How have things been, gentlemen, the last 6 years? Moshe Rabbeinu is, what am I going to say? What am I saying? I'm sorry. I'm going to go down to the block where I lived. There are Yisraelim there. There are mamas. There are people who are suffering all sorts of disabilities as a result of their enslavement. I'm going to say, I'm going to be sorry, you know. Oh, how welcome you're not going to come. They may not say it. They may be, but they may be, they're certainly thinking it. They're thinking it. Where you been? I'm just full of suffering. There's one Jew in the world who's not there. Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, Gam Yitmol, Gam Yishalshom, from yesterday, the day before, from the moment you started speaking to me, I am heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue. The moment you told me, go to Mitzrayim, what am I going to do? I had also received then a message that a good friend of mine, who was my chavrusa in Neri's Hall in Baltimore, was missing in action. I dreaded the idea that I'm going to have to go to the house. What am I going to say? What in heaven's name am I going to say to this woman whose husband is missing in action? There's a whole shtink and kindlach over there. I began to understand Moshe Rabbeinu. I began to understand him. You know what he means when he says, send anybody? Because every other person in the world is suffering together with the Tiny Soul and Mitzrayim. They are more worthy than I to be the saviors of the Jewish people. There's a famous story that's told about the Sakhna Rebbe. After the war, somebody came to ask him for a bracha. So he said, me come to ask for a bracha? Go find a Jew who has a number on his arm. Ask him for a bracha. You know what the Rebbe is saying? Anybody who suffered, any Jew who has suffered, is great, is holy. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand the Revelation. Me? I'm the last one of the whole world of Jews. The only one who wasn't there. The only one who isn't there. Me? You gotta be kidding. When he says, so watch, we'll go through it pasuk by pasuk, all the questions. I think I asked about 12, 13 questions. The first response is, mi onochi ki eilech el paro. There's a very big difference between the word onochi and the word ani. You know what the word onochi means? The word onochi is exclusive. Me and me alone. Just as God says, Onochi Hashem Elokecha, God, I'm the one and only. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm the one and only who shouldn't go to Paro. He does not cast aspersions on the Jewish people. When he says, Hey, lo yaminu li, v'lo yishmu b'koli, you know how you have to read that passage? Lo yaminu, they will not believe me. They will not listen to my voice. Because I'm the only one in the whole world who isn't there suffering with them. Lo yaminu kiyomru. They will say, Lo nira elecha, Hashem. God didn't appear to you. Where you been? Wow.
when in the final analysis he says, Shlachto b'yartishlach. That's what he's been saying for 5 days. Anybody else in the world is more worthy of being the shliach of God to save the Jewish people. That's why when he finally comes to Paro, and because of his appearance before Paro, Paro intensifies the suffering of the Jewish people, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not kvarpeh kvarlosha, I'm not heavy of tongue. My lips are sealed, I can't say a word, I didn't want to go, and now I came, my people are suffering even more. My lips are sealed. So why does he refuse? Because of the profound respect that he has for every other Jew in the world. And you know what? That's exactly why the Rebbein Shlomo wants him. And will not let up. A leader of the Jewish people is somebody who has respect to the point of reverence for every Jew on the face of this earth. Moshe Rabbeinu passes the test. And then you know what the Rebbein tells him? Moshe, your people have a long memory. They remember you were the first one to stand up on their behalf. You were the first one to strike a blow for the Jewish people. You were the first one who came out of the palace of Paro, and you see an Egyptian striking a Jew, and you struck him down. They know that you were betrayed. And they knew that you were sentenced to death. And they knew that you fled, and fled only because of them. They have long memories. And if you're concerned about it, then you know what? Halo Aaron Ochicha, your brother Aaron Halevi. Why does God have to describe him as Halevi? Because the Levim were not enslaved in Egypt. And you know what Aaron was doing? Aaron was the one who comforted the sick, who consoled the bereaved. The great Ohev Klal Yisrael was Aaron. If Aaron is going to introduce you to Klal Yisrael, you can be sure that any negative feelings will have disappeared completely. Aaron is the most beloved Jew in this land. Verachah is going to see you. Don't think that he is going to be upset that you are the savior and not him. The Somach Belibo. He is going to be happy, as I'm telling you. And of course, the intervention goes ahead and he orchestrates it. He orchestrates it. Aaron, get out there to see him. More. God said to Moshe, you're going to come there. The Shomula Kolecha, they're going to listen to your voice. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo Yishma'u Bikoli, they're not going to listen in my voice. Is he denying and rejecting what God said? God said they will listen. He says they won't listen. So the Malvin says, there's a big difference between Liko and Biko. The word bikol, to listen to the voice, means everything, precisely. When Avraham Avinu was upset about the fact that Sarah wants to cast out Hagar and her son Yishmael, Moshe, God says to Avraham, Kol asher tomar elecho Sarah shma bikola. Listen to every word that woman said. When God tells Moshe, Vishomu Likolecha, Moshe already has a hint that they didn't listen, but, you know, maybe not everybody, not exactly. when he says, "Hem lo yaminu li," they will not believe me. V'lo yishmu'u bikoli. There will be opposition. Oh boy, why did he have opposition? He had opposition on the second day that he walked out into Egypt, and there are two Jews who are fighting. We're going to talk about opposition. The story of Moshe Rabbeinu, the story of Moshe Rabbeinu is a Jew who has profound respect to the point of awe and reverence before any other Jew who's there together with Klal Yisrael and suffering Messiah. He can't understand it. Can't understand the question. Send anybody, not me. And it's precisely because of his refusals that God wants him and only him. Because there is no one who has that kind of a profound respect for every Jew. Yonah, the Gemara says, Lo yom holach Yonah el la'abed atzmo bayam. Yonah went into the sea with the knowledge that he may very well die. And he's ready to give his life. But he will not do what God wants of him. Because he's afraid that if he carries out his mission, the result of his mission will be negative as far as the Jewish people are concerned. He's worried that he's going to come to Nineveh, to those idolaters, and he's going to tell them in another 40 days Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And you know what's going to happen? They're all going to do tshuva. Which is exactly what happened. And then God turns around and tells the Jewish people, take a look at this. We've had a relationship of 1,000 years. I gave you Torah. I took you through the Midbar. I sent you my prophets. And I call upon you to do tshuva and you know. And these idolaters over there in Nineveh did tshuva. Instant tshuva. Instant tshuva. Yonah does not be the one. Does not want to be the one through whom Israel will suffer. He's ready to die. And if he's ready to die so that Israel shouldn't suffer, that's the man that the revelation wants. It's Yonah who has to go. He's the one who has to be the messenger of God. The end of the story. Oh no. The end of the story. We came to Eretz Yisrael. We came on that trip in 1974. I remember it was pouring rain when I made my way to Bayit Gan, to the home of my chavrusa who was supposed to be missing in action. I came to the door, I was dripping, but I was not only dripping, I was wanting shtick rain, and I rang the doorbell and my heart was in my stomach someplace. And his wife opens the door. Shalom! What a smile! I knew everything was okay. I knew everything was okay. And it was. And it was okay. What we did learn during that trip was, it was appreciated. Wherever we went, first group of rabbis to come after the Yom Kippur War, wherever we went, it was appreciated. They didn't forget us. The Jews of Chutz Laaretz care about us. But what I got out of it all, I think a profound and true understanding of the parasha of Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare. And you know what it is? It's letting the psukim speak to you. It was just the situation in which I found myself was that which gave me the key to unlock the parasha. And that's why Rav Shlomo Amar told me, write it up. With the story. That's it.